public speaking confession. I forget everything I'm supposed to say on the way up those stairs. Happens every single time. Like, as Julia's up here praying, I'm like, yeah, I got nothing. I have absolutely no idea where my message is supposed to go, but I'm sure it's supposed to go somewhere. But then when I get to here and I talk for a little bit about the McStuds, it all starts to come back. So I am excited for tonight. Tonight we're going to continue in our series called Sinking with Christ as we travel through 1 Corinthians. If you've been with us, we've been traveling. We've been looking as Paul goes in and out of the text, diving down deep and coming back up and giving us deep theology, but giving us very practical truths. And as we continue tonight, as we travel through the book, I am excited about our passage. My name is Josh. I'm on staff with Chi Alpha. I'm married. I have a daughter, my wife and daughter at home. A funny story, not really a funny story, a story about them. They waved at me as I left the house tonight, and Mom said good luck. Emma can't really talk. If she does, she says Mom a lot. So I try to ignore it unless it's in the middle of the night. And I'm like, hey, she's yelling your name, which is fantastic. But my daughter has this thing where she likes to clap when she gets excited, and she likes to clap after prayers.
It's okay.
So, all right, now we're practiced. And she likes to clap after prayers. Yeah. So, Josh, if you could just edit that to where we... Okay, great. So Katie texted me earlier. She said, you know, Josh, we were praying for you. And at the end, Emma clapped. And so it was exciting. I said, oh, that's great. And then I remembered, man, my wife really took a risk when she married me. Like a big risk. I probably... Yeah, everybody that knows me is like, yeah, you're telling me. what was she thinking? I have no idea. I have the worst track record with roommates that you could ever imagine. The worst. And let me tell you a little bit about that. Are you guys, you want to hear that? So my second year, it was first year, Hancock. My second year, I'm moving into a Chi Alpha house on Montebello. Kind of a Chi Alpha house. Only kind of. And I'm living with some guys, and then it happened. My roommate looked at me and said, hey, man, I'm out. I'm moving out. I'm not coming back. I'm taking a withdrawal from school to kind of get things straight. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. And then, like, the next week, the guy down the hall all of a sudden disappeared. Yeah. That was it for that story. He stopped living in the house, took his stuff and left. Mailed in his rent check every month, but he was done living with us. Yeah. So that's a pretty bad track record with roommates, right? Oh, there's more. There's more. So I go throughout the rest of my college career, all my roommates stay. You know, other guys I live with, I'm like, you know, was it me or was it you? You were there too. And then we found out it was me, because the next year, I live with a young man. We're living in an apartment on JPA, and it's 2 weeks. You know, I'm an aide with Chi Alpha. It's my first year out of college, and things are really busy at the start of the school year. Anybody remember that? And so, you know what? I was never home, ever. I was always out doing all kinds of stuff. And then in a two-bedroom apartment, my roommate realized that, hey, you know what? I'm alone a lot. So you know what? I'm going to move out. No joke. I had another three. We're up to three at this point. My third roommate moved out. He moved down the street, still paid rent in two places, just to not live with me. That face is it. I wish we could put that up, but we can't. We won't. So that's got to be it, right? Well, you wouldn't have ended that with a question if that was it. So you're right. There's one more. Let me tell you this story. So I lived in a house on Shamrock with a bunch of guys. It's my intern year. We're excited about living in community. I had spent the summer living with Justin Kim, Justin, was it that summer that you taught me that you can study in the summertime and I taught you what SportsCenter was? Is that what that was? And so we're excited about living in community as a house. You know, the guys are excited. I'm excited. We're going about our first semester together. And then one day I get home from the office and there's a van parked in the driveway. Everybody's shaking their head. You guys know where this is going. Well, I didn't know where it was going. I'm like, well, that's weird, but, you know, whatever. Sometimes people park in our driveway. So that's cool. And the downstairs door was shut. I'm like, that's weird. I never shut doors down here. Huh. Knowing what I know now, I may have investigated further. Instead, I left. I left. I came back. Yeah, there's a van, and I'm like, whatever. Honor code, right? Right? So I get back, and it turns out I've got another roommate gone. Yeah. Except for this time, it was different. You know, one of my other housemates comes down the hall. He goes, hey, guys, X, we'll call him Pete. Guys, Pete is gone. And he left us a note. Oh, you know when you get left a note, this is probably not good. Well, what's the note say? So the guy gets out and he reads the note. And he goes, well, the note says, guys, I'm leaving. I'm not coming back to school. Things are just hard. Oh, I'm not going to pay rent either. Please sign the bottom of this saying you won't ask me to pay rent. Pete. The Pete thing was my wife's idea, by the way. At least I could say that because she's not here. So what did we do? What should we do in this situation? Pete has moved out. He's not going to pay rent anymore. We live in the community of believers. What should we do? What should our response be? I would tell you my initial response, but I can't say those words anymore. That's only partially a joke. I can tell you what I wanted to do. Or is there something that we're supposed to do? Is there a way we're supposed to respond? And you know what? That's why I love our passage tonight. The passage we're going to look at tonight in 1 Corinthians is the passage we turn to as a house. It's the passage we looked at for what to do. So why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians? We're going to read the first half. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians is right before 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6 is right after chapter 5. Now that I've narrowed it down, thin line NIV Bibles, it's on page 952. Yes, which is more of you than one knows. You know what? Before we read the passage, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you the point of the message. I'm actually going to flash it up on the screen, which is normally me flashing it up. This time it's the other Josh. Oh, man, I spelled it wrong. It happens. When forgiveness is given, someone has to absorb the wound. Well, let's read. Forgiveness. Anyways, forgive. I have no guys. Does anybody know what's going on? Because I don't. It's spelled right? No. I would have taken the N out. What do you guys? Forgiveness. Oh, you're right. It is spelled right. Wow. So much for being serious. Wow. Oh, wow. That's, you guys could put that on Lolcats or something. I'm hip. Anyways, I can't believe that happened. They're like, no. I'm like, what are you guys yelling about? All right, 1 Corinthians 6. Let's read verses 1 through 6 before anything else happens. Before the McStuds get up here and dance again. God's word says, if any of you has a dispute, you... Anyways. You got a lot of work to do, Josh. Yeah. Everybody's like, listen to this podcast. You'll never believe him. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I love how Paul soft pedals so much in this book. I say this to shame you. Yeah, thanks, Paul. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. Yeah, so what's going on in our passage? You know, we see Corinthian church, we've gotten a great letter from a lot of their mistakes. And we see here they're making another one. That the church, there's been something that has happened, and the believers, instead of just working it out with one another, have decided to go to court with one another. And Paul says, what is going on? How dare, do you not know who you are? I love the family language that Paul uses in this passage. You are brothers. You are sisters. And because of that, things are supposed to be different. Not only that, but you are the family of God. You are marked by the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives with you, in you, around you. But yet, you can't figure things out. Even a little dispute among you. You don't know what to do. So instead, you seek justice. And you try to be righted. To get your revenge, if you will. In the court system. In front of unbelievers. This is a family matter. Things are different in the family of God. We're adopted as sons and daughters, co-heirs with Christ. Doesn't that make things different? Because when forgiveness is given, someone has to absorb the wound. So the big question is, you know, Paul, okay, so you don't want us to go to court. What are we supposed to do? What's the right answer? If we can't go to court, what are we supposed to do, Paul? Like, what other options are there? Let's read in verse 7 and 8 and see what Paul says. Again, soft pedaling Paul. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. And then the kicker. Paul says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. So, what is Paul saying? How is what Paul's saying right? How is this just? Paul says, be wronged. Be cheated. Why not rather extend forgiveness? Why not rather absorb the wound? Because your brothers, your sisters, and in family matters, things are different. You don't have to go to court. One of you can absorb the wound. I just think, yeah, wow. What a powerful passage. Well, what would you gain to be right anyway, Paul says? What would you win? You'd win the argument, but what would you lose? Family? Friendships? Yeah, you'd have some revenge maybe. You'd feel righted, but with the family? Would you, as the people of God, feel that? You know, I first read this passage as I tried to get it down in me, what it was saying, I thought to myself, hey, sounds like we can just have a heyday. We can do whatever we want as long as we do it to a brother or a sister and they can't do anything about it. So, can I borrow $5 from all of you? Yeah? You don't have $5? You're saving it for Powder Puff? All right. So no, I don't think that's what Paul is saying, and I think you look again at verse 8. You guys didn't think that's what Paul was saying either. In verse 8, I think Paul is very, very clearly saying, instead you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. And he's saying, don't do that. If you find yourself on that side, don't do that. Live rightly so that this doesn't have to play out. But if it does, then let it play out. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? And I can tell you this. This is a great example of it being countercultural. Syncing with culture would say, don't be wronged. Don't be cheated. Get what is yours. Get what is rightly yours. Syncing with Jesus says something different. It's counterintuitive. Hey, you know what? It might even cost you a little bit of money. Living this out may cost you a lot of money. Costing you money is our story as a house. As we read the text, as we looked at our lives, as we looked at our house, as a house filled with people that are brothers in the Lord, we realized that we had to be wronged. That we had to offer forgiveness, and someone had to absorb the wound. And that someone would be us. I was an intern with Chi Alpha. The interns will tell you, you don't make a lot of money as interns. We had a student teacher living with us. Student teachers will tell you, you don't make a lot of money as student teachers. Then we had 6 college students. College students will tell you that college students don't make a lot of money. And to absorb the wound of someone else's rent and utilities. It cost us. That meant that for our final dinner as a house, we ended up going to Cece's instead of the wood grill. Those are different levels of buffets. I don't know if the girls are... Starts at Cece's, then it goes Golden Corral, which is no longer around here. Then it goes wood grill. We had been looking forward to the wood grill for a long, long time, but we didn't have any money left at the end of the year. That's only a little bit of an exaggeration. That was also not in the notes, which I don't think I'm supposed to tell you when things like that happen. So it cost us money. And you know what? I don't know where Pete is right now. I see him back there, but I don't know what Pete's doing. He kind of cut off communication from us. So I don't know what it did for him. I know what it did for us as a house. I know that we, as we absorbed that wound together, we bonded. We became closer as a house. We saw God move in great ways through each other, through our sacrifice. But then the more and more we thought about it, the more and more I think about it, the more I realized that, hey, you know what, a couple, what, 60, 70, 80, I don't know how many dollars a month it was. It's kind of a small price to pay compared to the ultimate example we have of this passage. Just more and more I think about it, the more and more I realize that this passage is the gospel. That this principle is the gospel message, that Jesus came, was wronged, was cheated, and offers forgiveness and absorbs the wound. And the more and more I think about that, the more I realize that, man, these small, trivial matters don't matter. And I had to imagine that's what was going through Paul's mind. No, you don't get it. The Savior of the world showed up and you all wronged him. He was cheated, but he absorbed the wound for you. Why can't you do that for your brothers and sisters? Where's the disconnect? And I just think, man, the Corinthians didn't get it. And then I think, man, I don't get it. Oh, but I want to get it. I want to live this passage out more and more. You know, I'm talking to myself. I'm like, well, you did this passage. And so you're good. This passage, yeah, you got it. And then I like just think briefly about my week, and I'm like, no, you don't. I was out to dinner the other night, and I thought, you know, the waitress, if any of you are waitresses in here, or waiters, I'm sorry, this one just didn't get it. She was bad. Like, bad. Like, my wife likes water with lemon, and so we asked for water with lemon, and she's like, oh, I don't really want to cut the lemon. Okay, all right. That's cool. Really, though? She's like, maybe if I get some more time, I'll cut the lemon, but right now, I don't have time. I'm like, all right. And then, you know, the food comes out really late, and the couple we're with, it's not right. It's like, this isn't right. She's like, can you just eat it? No, really? And then I think, you know what? I'm not going to give you a good tip. Someone has to absorb the wound, huh? I thought, you know, I have every right as a customer to not give you a great tip. I have that right. But do I have that right as a Christian? Then another story. I'm with my grandmother, and she's still in Myrtle Beach, so she's not here right now. I'm talking with my grandmother, and my grandmother is one of 11 kids, which I think is crazy, and I cannot remember all her siblings' names, though she tells me them every time I see her. And when her mother died, she left the land that they own to all the kids. Which, from the outside looking in, man, what a terrible idea. Terrible idea. So these kids, I say kids, they're, what, 60, 70, 80 years old. All they've done is fight over the land. Right now, one of them lives on it, and she doesn't pay rent. And my grandmother looked at me and said, and we're going to take her for everything she's got. And I'm like, well, how much does she have, Grandma? Well, not very much. She's on food stamps. That's why she can't pay the rent. I'm like, what? I'm like, let me read you a passage, Grandma. No, that is not what I did. It's what I thought about doing, but no, it's not what I did. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow when I see her or coming up to visit. But you know what? My grandmother, her brothers, her sisters, as Americans, have that right to take their sister to court and to take her for everything she's got. Because who knows what rent is on a 2,000-acre property or whatever. But do they have that right as Christians? As brothers and sisters that all still attend the same church that's right beside the property? This is real. Yeah. Because when forgiveness is given, someone has to absorb the wound. Why not you? Why not them? Then I think, hey, you know what? Those are both money examples. The text talking about lawsuits among believers. Normally when you're going to court, it's over money or something, you know. So, money. And then the more I think about it, the more I realize that it's bigger than that. That it's not just money. That this is the Christian life. In our friendships, in our relationships, in our houses, that this is the Christian life. This is the life that is synced with Christ. A life that offers forgiveness. We're people of grace. Where you know what? When you wake up in the morning and you roll out of bed and you get downstairs and your roommates just fight with you. And they say something that they shouldn't have said. So what do? Leave the house, never talk to them again? Or do you absorb that wound for the friendship, for the relationship? Or maybe there's an example out there that's more than that for you. Maybe there's something that comes to your mind. Maybe it is something with money. Maybe it's nothing right now, but 3 months down the road it will be. I find the more and more I live in relationship with people, the more conflict I have. It may just be me, which the roommate thing was. But the more and more I realize I can live this principle out, that I can offer forgiveness, I can absorb the wound, because I am a child of God. I live in the family of God. I am marked by the Spirit of God. And that's what matters. And the relationship is more important than being right. That it's okay to just be wrong. that it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. And so, as we close tonight, I'm going to call the worship team up. We're going to close tonight with worship. But I got two questions I want us to kind of think about. You guys liking it with questions? I find it really helps me, and so I hope it helps you. And so I didn't write them down, Josh, so I'll need you to click them. So as the worship team's coming, as you're sitting in your seats right now, what has kept you from absorbing the wound in past situations or relationships? If you've been in a situation like this, what has it been that has kept you from living that life of grace or forgiveness with stubbornness, pride, selfishness, the need to be right? All these things I can see in my own life as I think through situations where I could have absorbed the wound myself. And the next question, going forward, how will your relationships change due to this passage and the example of Jesus? I'm reminded of a passage in the Gospels where Peter comes up to Jesus and he's like, "Jesus." And Jesus is like, "Peter." And Peter's like, "Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Seven? Like seven whole times, Jesus, really? Please say no." And Jesus is like, "No." And Peter's like, "Yes." Of course, this is all a loose translation. And Jesus is like, "I tell you the truth." And Peter's like, "Oh, no, not that." And Jesus is like, "70 times seven." And Peter's like, "I don't do math." And Jesus is like, "Find an e-schooler and ask him." And Peter's like, "I think Andrew could code something and that would figure it out." So Andrew's over there. "Dude, Peter, that's a lot." And Peter's like, "Oh." Oh. Why did I just do that? I don't know. So I had to imagine in that moment, Peter's relationships would look different from then on. There'd be more grace. There'd be more of an understanding of forgiveness and absorbing the wound. Because that's what Jesus did for us. And I just think that it is exciting to think, what the community would look like if we were to live this stuff out. If we were to sink with Christ in this way, what would Chi Alpha look like? What would UVA look like? What would UVA see as they looked at Chi Alpha? They saw relationships lived a different way. According to Scripture, instead of according to America, or our right to be right, just for right's sake. As I pray, why don't you stand with me? I think the band's going to start playing. I'm going to pray, then we're going to worship, and it is going to be exciting to be the people of God gathered together. And so, God, we just thank you. For the gift of family, that as we stand in this room together, we thank you for the gift of family, that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then that means something. And so God, I just pray that as we sink our lives with Christ, that you would become more and more prevalent in our midst, in our meetings, in our houses, and in our relationships, God. So God, I pray that for those of us that this passage hits very close to home tonight, that you would give us strength, that you would give us courage, that we would be able to be wronged, to offer forgiveness, and to absorb the wound as you did. And for those of us that maybe the passage doesn't speak as much tonight, God, I pray that 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years down the road, that you would remind us of this truth tonight. That we could become better examples to the world around us by living a life of grace, a life of love, a life that is marked by sinking with Christ. And so God, we thank you for tonight, for the opportunity to hear your word, for the opportunity to live it out in community. So be with us. We pray that you would be here with us as we worship, and that our voices would touch your heart. In your son's name we pray.